Topic for this morning is the process of transformation, and again, transforming, moving forward, but also moving back in the remembering of the truth of who we are. Before we get to that, I want to make you aware, in the bulletin this morning, there are some sheets of paper I want to make you aware of. One of those is a green one that talks about, we're going to be doing Mary Morrissey's program, Prosperity Plus, A New Way of Living. This is a 10-week program, and if you decide to join me for this, we're going to be doing it Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 8:30 here in the sanctuary. The $49 investment comes with a kit of audio CDs, and so we'll get together every Wednesday night, watch about an hour and 15 minute or so presentation from Mary Morrissey, and then you'll have the audio to take with you along with a workbook, and there'll be some light assignments and so forth. But she talks about prosperity being much more than just our money. Prosperity is in our health, it's in our relationships, it's in every area of our life. We did this once before, several months ago here at the church, and we had some wonderful demonstrations individually, but also during this time, because what we focus on expands, and what is a church but a community of people, what we as a church focused on during that time expands. And so it was during that time that we found the other congregation that comes in and shares our space in the afternoons and helps us pay the rent. And it was also during that time that we received two $5,000 donations that allowed us to bring our obligations current, allowed us to lovingly release the printer that we had a lease on for 5 years that absolutely did not serve us anymore. And it was the third or fourth lease that we'd had over time because we never really had the money, enough money at one time to release it and send it back. Because I don't know if you're familiar with office equipment leases, but if you say, I don't want this anymore, you have to come up with the $1,200 or $1,300 to ship it back to the holder of the lease. So we had the money to do that. We released that copy machine and that $250 a month obligation. So this was an amazing blessing for us and to do, and we painted and we cleaned the carpeting and we did some other things as well. The point is, we as an organization focused on our prosperity, and we had the manifestation as a result of that. I absolutely know that that's going to be the same for us or greater as we go into this next month, and I invite you personally to be with me on this because those of us that were involved in the program had some wonderful manifestations as well. If that's something you're interested in, we need to order materials. We have some samples in the bookstore that you can take a look at this morning. If you would like to join me on that, I ask that you register this morning. And on the other side of the green sheet, there's a place to put your name, email address, and phone number. If you'll just fill that in and drop that in the offering basket this morning, then I'll be able to get the order of the materials for that. And that'll begin again Wednesday night, July 6th, here in the sanctuary. And then Dr. Ruth Hobson will be facilitating a creative writing skills workshop Thursday nights beginning July 14th. And there's a purple flyer or a lavender flyer in your bulletin about that as well. If you're interested in joining Dr. Ruth for that, if you'll register by filling in the information on the back and just drop that in the basket as well, then we will get the necessary materials for that. Okay, so back to the subject at hand. In the beginning of one of Debbie Ford's books, and I'm sure it's been in other writings as well, but in the beginning of one of Debbie Ford's books, she talks about this Buddha that was in some faraway land, far away from us anyway, and the marauders were coming. The armies were coming to take what was this group of monks, to take what they had, and they were so concerned about the safety and the health and welfare of this gold Buddha that they covered it with mud. And so it looked just like a great big pile of mud. And the warring tribes came in and they did what they did, but that was just a pile of mud. So they didn't do anything with that. They just walked right by it. And just about all of the monks in that particular group were killed during this battle, and the people went on about their business. And years and years and years later, there was a new group that came in, and they started working there, and they just walked around this pile of mud because they thought all it was a pile of mud. And then one of the monks, and this is paraphrased, this is not exact words, but you'll get the point, and you may have heard this story before. But one day, one of the new people were out by the pile of mud, and he noticed there was a little bit of a golden kind of tint to this pile of mud. And he said, "What's up with that?" And so he went over to the river and got some water and splashed it on the pile of mud, and some more of the mud came off. And he said, "Oh my goodness," again paraphrased, and called the rest of the team together, and they washed, and there was the golden Buddha. The point for us is, when we got here, we came with the knowledge that we are the beloved of God, that life is for us, that everyone out there is out there to lean toward us, to bless us, that there's nothing to worry about, nothing to fear, there's no thing going on that we need to worry about, because the presence of Spirit resides within us. What more do we need than that? But over time, we got taught, and we learned things, and we now know things. But Byron Katie, in her book, I forget the title, but it'll come back to me, says just because we know it doesn't mean it's true. And so what I submit is, in our transformation, it's not a matter of learning anything new, it's a matter of remembering what we already know, but we were convinced otherwise before we knew. People that we thought knew what they were talking about told us things, and we said, "Oh, okay, you must know what you're talking about," and we accepted it as our truth, whether it was true or not. And it might have been their truth, but it isn't necessarily our truth. So the transformation is not a matter of, the enlightenment is not a matter of learning anything new. It's going back and seeing that all that mud was a lie. All that mud covered up the essence of what we are, which is the expression, the experience, and the essence of Spirit. That's all we are. That's all we are. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 3, "Unless ye become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And what we know is, heaven is a moment-by-moment experience. It's not a, at some point, sweet by-and-by. To me, heaven is just the absolute knowing. It just that all is well. That my health is fine, my relationships are wonderful, everything in my life is just exactly as it should be. If I want to go and do something, I whip out the debit card, because there's always more than enough, or whip out the checkbook, not the credit card, unless I want the frequent flyer miles, then I can whip out the credit card, but then pay it off at the end of the month. But there's always more than enough. There's more than enough love. There's more than enough peace. There's more than enough health. There's more than enough money. There's more than enough in every single area of my life. I was thinking about my son, who is 31 years old. How in the world did that happen? And him being 2 years old and 3 years old and hanging out, you know, in the high chair for lunch. He loved broccoli dipped in ranch dressing. Why in the world? And hot dogs wrapped in tortillas. So, I mean, you can't, you kind of, it was a good balance. But I was thinking about that experience of being 2 years old and 3 years old. When we were that age, it was just no thing. Because the world revolved around us. When we finished breakfast, there was no concern about lunch. It just was, gee, okay, my tummy's full, I'm gonna go play. It was a great thing. And some of us might remember those days, and others of us might not. But the concept is, that's heaven. In the moment, do I want Legos? Do I want Hot Wheels? Do I want Lincoln Logs? What do I want? Just absolutely in the moment of whatever it is I want, and I don't have to worry about this afternoon or tomorrow because I'm in this moment. That's where children reside, is in that moment. You may remember this great little yellow book, Smile for No Good Reason, by Dr. Lee Jampolsky. He talks about toddler wisdom. And this is so wise for us in our transformation back to the recognition of who we are. And he says, toddler wisdom, there are three points. Say bye-bye when an experience is done, whether it's when a relationship is done, and whether the relationship is with a loved one or a job or a dollar bill or whatever it is, we say bye-bye, just like toddlers do, without worrying, oh, what's going to happen now? They don't worry about that because they know it's a continuous flow, and they're an anticipation of the next good, the next wonderful experience, the next broccoli and hot dogs, or whatever it is. They're in anticipation of that good that's coming next. Say, all gone, done with lunch. I do not remember ever having Brandon ask me what's for dinner. Just knew that it was going to be there. So when we're done with this experience, we know that something greater is coming. It's just not a thing. And then, whoopsie, spilled that milk, knocked over that whatever, that didn't turn out the way I expected it to. Whoopsie. And then you move on. All gone, bye-bye, and whoopsie. Keeps us in heaven. It keeps us in heaven because we can't experience heaven next week. Heaven is a constant in this moment experience, as we know is hell. It's a moment-by-moment choice of where we're going to go with that, and it's always our choice. Toddlers and little kids get the sacredness and the juiciness of the moment. And Brandon was always he was captivated by sirens. And I so remember anywhere we were, if there was a siren, he'd hear it. He'd just be captivated and will say, somebody needs something, and so they're going to go help him. Isn't that great? And he said, oh, that's so great. And then went on about his business. But he was captivated by the curiosity and the, oh, wow, what's that? And a word that Stephanie Dowrick uses in Forgiveness and Other Acts of Love that I love so much is spaciousness. When we stay in judgment, in fear, in anger, in anticipation of the other shoe dropping or the second catastrophe becoming the third catastrophe, or whatever it is, when we stay in that box of apprehension, not only do we feel it in our bodies, and I think you'd agree with me that if you're in fear or in worry or in anger or in frustration, you feel it in your physical body. When we stay in that anticipation of the greater good, whatever it is, and whatever's going on, we know that we're not only okay, but we're just fine. We've got that spaciousness that allows spirit to bring that good to us, whatever it's going to be. But we stay in anticipation of that, and out of that fear and that worry. But at some point, somebody told us that life is a struggle. Somebody told us that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Somebody told us about heredity, and that if your grandmother had a physical situation and your mother had the physical situation, then you have the physical situation. And somebody told us about original sin and that somehow we're less than we should be. And it's not the truth. So the transformation for us is to go back and remember our toddler wisdom. To remember that the world revolves around us, which doesn't give us the opportunity to be selfish, certainly, because the world revolves around everyone else and we're all doing this together. But the point is that spirit is within us and answers us, always says yes to us, never says you've overdrawn your account this month, never says that's too good for you, never says anything except yes. We get back to that anticipation in our transformation, to the returning to that becoming as a little child again, as Jesus talked about. But we picked up those truths along the way and we gave them power because somebody that we thought knew what they were talking about said them. But it, to use the perfect English, it ain't necessarily so. In that whoopsie, we allow ourselves to forgive ourselves. We allow ourselves to forgive everyone else as well. And forgiveness is a funny thing because, excuse me, I don't have to forgive you unless you've not done what I wanted you to. If you do what I want you to, then everything is fine. Which can be a little dicey, as you know, because often in my life, perhaps not in yours, but often in my life, people don't do what I want them to do. But as we allow ourselves to step back out of anticipation, out of expectation, and out of should, and if you're on my email list, you might have seen my email from Thursday, I think it was, about the power of should, which is not necessarily a positive power. And if you're not on my email list and would like to be, just get me your address after the service and I'll be happy to put you on the list. But should keeps us stuck in that anticipation that someone should be doing something, or they shouldn't be doing something, or I shouldn't have to do something, which feels so awful, and it just sounds a lot like, you know, if the word should, it sounds a lot like should. But forgiveness allows us to say whoopsie with anybody else's stuff as well as our stuff and as well as with our anticipation. Sometimes the only forgiveness that we need to do is for ourselves, for expecting someone else to do something, especially before we ask them. So this transformation, going back and remembering the truth of who we are. Remembering that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, not human beings with an occasional glimpse of what our spiritual life is. But I was talking about this a couple of years ago, and what came to me was, what do I believe about the term human experience? Is it just that's the way life is? You know, you don't always have enough money, and you have health situations, and you don't always agree with people, and people drive 55 in the 65 mile an hour lane, and all those things. Do I believe that's what's normal and natural? If I do, the universe always says yes, so that becomes my experience. If my belief is, as Course in Miracles says, everyone and everything leans toward me to bless me, then that becomes my experience. Little kids have no anticipation of anything other than everyone cooperating. Well, of course you're going to do that for me. I want another hot dog. Of course you're going to cook that for me. I want another piece of whatever. Of course you're going to do that for me. Everyone leans toward me to bless me. That's that little child part that brings us back to the recognition of the truth of who we are. I have to share, I had to stop at the grocery store this morning to get some flowers, and the Vons by our house, normally on Sunday mornings, there's one checker, and this woman ahead of me had baby food, enough to feed the masses. And of course, you gotta scan every jar, because one might be blueberry buckle, and one might be whipped peas, and one might be I don't know what all else. And she's unloading the baby food, and it's 9:10 or so, and I'm still okay, but some of you know one of my rules have to do with I need to be wherever it is, and I need to be there early because I just have to. It's required. And there was a time when I almost made myself physically ill because I was 5 minutes late, and that goes against all the rules in my book. But nonetheless, standing there watching this lady, and I keep thinking, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Because what I do is, if I'm not in a major hurry and I've got two items, or I've got 20 items and the person behind me has two items, I say, wouldn't you like to go ahead of me? And what did this lady do after she finished unloading her cart but say, you look like you need to be someplace. Wouldn't you like to go ahead of me?
Yes.
It's not a big deal, except that it's another example of how life works when we allow it to. When we transform ourselves back to that anticipation of life being for us, the universe always responds. If I was standing there thinking, for the love of God, can't you open another checkout stand? This always happens. You know what it would have happened is I would probably still be standing there. No, maybe not. But that would not have happened, and I would have had to have waited, and I still would have been okay and been here in time, because you can't start without me, so that's okay. But the point is, in anticipation of that good, in anticipation of life being for us, life is. In anticipation of life being a struggle and a pain in the neck and nobody ever cooperates with us, life does. Not because it's a punishment, but it's just that reflection of whatever it is we believe. It's that experience of heaven. It's that returning to that childlike faith that everyone cooperates with us. I gave that lady a really big smile. That was just the greatest thing. And I walked out saying, thank you, God. That gratitude for the little things, and we have, you know, if you don't do a gratitude journal, I so invite you to, or at least in the bed, the end of the night, before you drift off, what happened today that you want to give thanks for? It's just the greatest feeling to go to sleep in that gratitude. Because if it was the lousiest day you've ever had in your life, there was something to be grateful for. And as my experience has been, as soon as you think of one thing, oh, well, there was that, and oh, well, yeah, there was that, and oh, well, there was that, and we come up with the whole great big long list that we couldn't have imagined. It goes the other way, too, of course. If you start out the day dumping coffee on yourself and focus on that, God's sake, how could you be so stupid? What am I going to wear now? Blah, blah. I always do this to myself. I can't believe I did that again. Then inevitably, traffic's going to pile up on the way to work, or whatever it is going to happen because what we focus on expands. Always, always, always. That gratitude stuff is the greatest thing. That's one of the things that we teach our children that sometimes they need to learn, and it's so important to be grateful for the little things as well as the big things. But all those other things we learned, it's just it's not a process of learning something new, it's a process of unlearning what is not our truth. So in transformation, Stephanie Dowrick says in the book, we do not become different, we become more ourselves. We become that we came here to be. Because the truth is, the religious leaders, and this is always a slippery slope when I start talking about ministers and religious leaders, because, you know, you just have to watch that. But the truth is that no one has a greater pipeline to God than you do. Our ministers and practitioners do not, the Pope does not, no one has a greater pipeline. No one has more of God residing within them than you do or I do. The difference is sometimes we need to be reminded of our oneness. Sometimes we need to be reminded that despite appearances, everything is okay. And that's why we have ministers and practitioners here to support you in whatever it is going on in your life. But we have no more of a pipeline than you do. So when someone tells you something and it just doesn't feel right, that's their truth. It may not be your truth. In this transformation, it's going back and seeing, yes, that feels right to me. Yes, that feels right to me, but that doesn't feel right to me, and I don't choose to accept that as my truth, because we're always choosing our truth and either accepting or crossing off the list. It is a moment-by-moment experience. So we transform from fear to faith. And I was someplace over in La Mesa, and there was a bulletin board on outside a church of all places. It said, It said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Fear is the lousiest thing. It's the lousiest emotion that I have run across. And if you've ever been afraid of something, a health situation or a money situation or a, oh my God, they're going to find out, or just about whatever it is, anytime you've had that deep fear, you know that that's the worst emotion and the worst feeling. And the problem with it, in addition to sometimes making us physically ill, remember Job in the Old Testament said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me, because that is such a powerful emotion, a powerful feeling, and our feelings help to determine our experience. So we're just terrified that it's the transmission in the car. And it turns out to be the transmission in the car. It wasn't punishment for anything. It was just that's what we focused on. That became our experience. So when we have that feeling of fear, how am I going to figure this out? What am I going to do? We go back to that childlike faith, not childish, but childlike faith, and know that in the silence, we'll know what we need to know. For me, it's early in the morning. I just get the most amazing insights. Now, would you ever go to bed with, what should I do about this? Ask the question and allow the universe to tell us. Maybe a different time of day for you, or it may be throughout the day. For me, early in the morning is absolutely the greatest time. So we transform from fear to faith. We transform from resentment to love. We transform from judgment to gratitude. Byron Katie's book that It didn't come with me, and that's all right. But anyway, she talks about an experience of being in the desert with some friends, and it's the desert. And there's cactus, and there's desert stuff. And there's a tin can. And the people, one of the people she's with starts to go down the road of, you know, I can't believe these people, they come to the desert, it's so beautiful, and they leave their trash. You know, the planet's going to hell in a handcart because people aren't picking up after themselves, and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. And Byron Katie says, but it's part of the desert. It's just part of that experience. And so in the 5 minute yamma, 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 as Wayne Gaines says, about whoever it was that left the tin can, you see the beauty of this overall experience, and then you reach down and pick up the tin can. And yeah, they should have picked it up for themselves, but they didn't. I could have peace instead of this. So we focus on the beauty of the moment and everything that is, because the truth is that everything is as it should be, and it gives us the opportunity to pick that up. So we stay out of that judgment and out of that resentment. We transform from a belief in separation to a knowingness of oneness. And I find myself sometimes, as a last resort, I go inside. Last resort. Why do we do that? Figure out, okay, how am I going to solve this? I could do this. I could do this. I could call this person. I could worry about it. And we go through all of that, and then finally, the universe is able to get a word in edgewise. Then we go inside, and it's solved for us. We get the answer. And there you go. It's like needing, the comparison I got for this was needing an air filter for the car. Okay? You go to Macy's. You go to GNC. You go to Whole Foods. Finally, after you've driven all over town and made yourself almost crazy, you go to Chief Auto Parts. Who's got the part? Who you knew had the part, but for some reason you just had to go through all of those other places before you finally got to the answer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You just go where the answer is. When we become as a little child, we go where the answer is. Oftentimes we go and say, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to heal this. But Spirit does. Always. Always. So in this transformation, we go from living someone else's truth to living our own. And transformation happens when we really look at what we believe and we look at our relationship with Spirit and we say, that they're talking about related to the economy has nothing to do with me. And that they're talking about related to heredity and health and when you get to be a certain age and all of that nonsense has nothing to do with me. Because my relationship with Spirit is mine. Edwin Gaines says, God doesn't have any grandchildren. My relationship with Spirit is mine. It is a one-on-one experience. And so we take that which needs to be transformed and give in. Not give out, not give up, but give in. and allow the healing to happen and take us back to that time where we knew that we were the beloved of God. That transformation happens, but it's not moving out or up, it's moving in. So with that in mind, let's move into the light. So in this moment, we are reminded of our oneness with the God presence with one another and with all of life. And we allow ourselves to feel and know and accept our original blessedness in every area and every experience. And sitting here in this moment, we allow ourselves to be the beloved of God. That's all there is. That's all there is. And in this relationship with this loving, nurturing presence, we hear what we need to hear and know what we need to know and are able to move forward in our truth, not anyone else's. And so we lovingly release all those beliefs that don't make sense to us, all those beliefs that don't make us comfortable, all those beliefs that don't bring us peace. And as we do, we are returned to that experience of being the little child. Loved, nurtured, protected, blessed. That's who we are. And as we allow ourselves to release anything unlike that, that becomes our experience, and we move forward in great joy. We give thanks for this time together, for this wonderful place we call Joyful Living Church, and know that this incredible teaching that changes lives draws wonderful people to us, so that they too could be reminded, because it's just reminding, that all is well. It is the truth. We accept it now, and together we say, and so it is.